I want you to take your Bibles today and turn with me to Joshua again. In Joshua chapter number 13. Joshua 13. And Wednesday night we looked at chapter number 10. And what I'm going to do in just what the Lord's impressed upon my heart, chapter 11, it kindly chronicles the different battles and the different victories in which the Lord gave Israel. And it's just a historical account of the different battles and the different victories. When you get to chapter 12, you have a continuation of that, but you also have what is the beginning of the dividing of the land amongst the people. And then chapter 13 is a continuation of the dividing of the land amongst the people. Because now as God is giving them victory over the land of Canaan, now He can begin to distribute that land. And He begins to distribute it among the people as He so chooses. And so it was God's call concerning how that land was to be distributed. But embedded in this in chapter 13 is a verse that is contains within it an amazing and remarkable truth for you and I as a New Testament believer. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. So I want you to look at Joshua chapter 13, and I want to read verse 32 and verse 33. So if you would please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. And I want you to see the specifically verse 33. Verse 32 says, "These are the countries which Moses did distribute it for inheritance in the plains of Moab, on the other side Jordan by Jericho eastward. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not an inheritance, the Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as He said unto them." Wow. Father, I come to You today. Father, I stand amazed that our inheritance is You. And Father, I pray that, Lord, You'd speak to us through this passage and through this message. Father, I again acknowledge there's not a word I can say that would be able to help anybody here. But God, if You'll speak through me tonight, Lord, You can change lives. So Father, whether saved, whether lost, Father, change us, I pray. In Jesus' name, and all God's children said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Well, kindly, the key word in this distributing of the land is the word lot. You ever heard that phrase, this is your lot in life? You ever heard that phrase? Well, that phrase came from the distributing of the land to Israel. And God said, this is your lot. And each tribe would have their lot. In other words, their inheritance, their part of the land of Canaan. Now, remember what I've told you before, that God did not give us a land, He gave us a life. And I want you to hold on to that. And I'm going to repeat that over and over again because I want to make sure we grab a hold of that. Because the same way in which God asked Israel to possess the land He gave them is the same way God's asked us to possess the life that He's gave us. And so it's the same walk of faith. It's the same attitude of faith. It's the same trust in the Lord. It's the same realization that the battles belong to the Lord and not unto us. It's that kind of heart and mindset in which we possess what God's given us. And can I tell you today that you and I have the blessed privilege of having our spiritual lot being the Lord Jesus. He is that life that God has given us. Now, so what we find embedded in this passage is we find embedded in here where God now brings this to light in symbol and in type through the tribe of Levi. Because that's exactly what He said about Levi. Now, as Israel would possess the land by faith, Levi was going to have to possess the life of the Lord by faith. So what Israel was doing in faith to possess the land, Levi was now going to have to do by faith in possessing the Lord Jesus. And you say, wait a minute, you say I've got to possess the Lord Jesus? Well, here's the great proof. When God saved you, you received the person of the Lord Jesus. That means you've been possessed from Him. Amen? He took His residence inside of you. But now the key to the Christian life is not the fact that I have a possession. The key to the Christian life Am I possessing my possession? In other words, or am I allowing my possession, the person of the Lord Jesus, to be all in me and all through me that He wants to be? That's the fullness of the Christian life. That's Canaan for you and I. And so what Levi was going to have to do is possess their possession as Israel was possessing their possession, and they were both going to have to do it by faith. And so this is the great truth. Now, what I want to do today is I want us to look at this because I want us to look at some things. Now, to do this one verse, and I'm going to be honest with you. Now, I'm just going to be transparent. I'm not going to be very long this morning, but I do want to be transparent. When I began to study out this one verse, I almost, if God would have allowed me, which He didn't, but if God would have allowed me, I could have made this about a 2-month study. That's how much is contained in this one little verse. But I'm not going to do that because God didn't give me permission. But one day, maybe He will. Amen? But what I want to do is kindly overview this truth that's contained within this verse. Now, what I want us to do first is I want us to look at the heritage of the Levites. The heritage of the Levites. Now, why is that? Well, as I read this, all the other tribes got a land, but the tribe of Levi got a Lord. Now, the Lord was there for all of the Israel. Now, you have to understand that. But specifically here, God had deemed that Levi, the tribe of Levi, would not have a land to occupy their attention and their mind and their energy. Why? Because He wanted Levi and the tribe of Levi to have a wholehearted understanding and a sold-out heart with nothing to distract them whatsoever from the purpose in which He called them, which was unto Himself being the priestly ministry. Because that's who the priests were. We're out of the tribe of Levi. And so all that God wanted for them was to have a priestly ministry that was singly and totally focused upon the Lord and if you will, serving in His name and before Him. And He did not want them to be occupied with an inheritance of a land that would disturb or turn their focus away from the Lord God of Israel. Now you say, well, wait a minute, preacher. How does that apply to me? Well, guess what the Bible says when God saved you? You became priests and kings. That means that there is the priesthood of the Lord Jesus. He is the high priest. And He represents us before a holy and mighty and triune God. And listen, even though we do sin, we have an advocate with the Father. And that advocate with the Father is our high priest. And can I tell you, even though Satan does accuse us day and night, I got good news for you. There's one standing before the Father that says, yeah, that may be true of that man or that woman, but this one's been taken care of by my blood, and he is with me. We have a high priest. But we are also priests. Now you say, wait a minute, preacher. If I have a high priest, how am I a priest? Because here's the thing. As Christ is representing you before a holy God, He now has taken and resided within you in the form of the Holy Spirit. For what purpose? That as He is representing you before God, you're representing Him before people. You're a priest. What is a priest? One that knows the need, knows the provision, and brings the two together. And can I tell you, as a priest as a believer, the priesthood of the believer is what? Those of us that know that the world has a need, and those of us that have experienced the provision of that need in the Lord Jesus, and through the life in which He lives through us, we bring the two together. That's the priesthood of the believer. So now, why Levi? Why did God single them out to be the priest? Well, can I tell you, the way that took place is the same way God brought you to the personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. I want you to see this with me. First thing I want to look at in this heritage of the Levites is the condemnation of the Levites. Because I want to tell you, their roots did not start off pretty. Matter of fact, I would say their roots started off with a curse pronounced against them. Because if you go back to Genesis, you find out that Simeon and Levi, these two brothers, committed murder. And when they committed murder, they stood before their father, Jacob. It's called the judgment seat of Jacob in Genesis chapter 49. And as they stood before their father, Jacob, I want you to see what Jacob says about Levi and about Simeon. Genesis 49, verses 5 through 7. Here's what Jacob says at his deathbed about them. And he's really, if you will, prophesying about their future. And I want you to hear what he says. Simeon and Levi are brethren. Instruments of cruelty are in them, their habitation. O my soul, come not thou into their secret, to their assembly, my honor. Be not thou united, for in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they dig down a wall. Cursed be their anger, for it was fierce, and their wrath, for it was cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Literally what Jacob said is, you now have a curse, a condemnation against you because of this murder. And here's the reason for that. It wasn't that they just committed murder. They never repented of it. Amen? Listen, some of the other brothers of Jacob committed cruelties and foulties just to the extreme of Levi and Simeon. But Jacob blessed them. Why? Because they repented of it. But not Simeon and Levi. And so now all of a sudden, here are two brothers that's supposed to be two tribes that will now, if you will, have a condemnation over their heads of being scattered abroad and never being a separate entity among the people of God. And sure enough, as history tells us, Simeon, the tribe of Simeon, was absorbed into the northern kingdom of Judah and never became a vibrant tribe. But something changed with Levi. What in the world was it? Well, they came to the place of yielding to God. And I want you to see this with me. This is what I want to deal with secondly in the heritage of the Levites, is the call of the Levites. The call of the Levites. Now, let me kind of give you the story here. And then as I do, I want you to turn to Exodus 32, verse 26. But here's the story. The children of Israel are in the wilderness, okay? And as they're in the wilderness, God tells Moses to go up Mount Sinai. Now, y'all remember what happened. Moses was up there for a long, long time. Now, why was Moses up there for a long time? Well, because God was loading his wagon. I mean, God was giving him all the law of Moses. That included the offerings, that included the feast, that included the truth about who the priest would be, how to consecrate the priest, what their role was to be. I mean, every detail in which God wanted Moses to understand, God was giving him. And this did not take just a little hour or two. He was gone for a long time. Now, he was the leader of the children of Israel. And so the children of Israel got a little, if you will, bored. And they said, came up to Aaron, and they said, Aaron, we need something to worship. Moses has abandoned us. He's not coming back. Aaron said, all right, I want you to take all your gold, and I want you to bring it to me. And they took all the gold, and they formed it into a golden calf. Y'all remember that? So now why God is speaking to Moses, Israel's worshiping a golden calf. Y'all got the picture now? Amen. God's commanding Moses about what is good for Israel, and why Israel is not waiting on God, they're worshiping a golden calf. Y'all see that picture in us? Let me tell you something, folks. When you get impatient with God, it'll always cause you to turn your affection somewhere else. Now, here's the thing. So what is God specifically telling Moses why he's up there about Levi? He says, Moses, here's what I want to tell you. I want you to take the sons of Aaron, which are the Levites, and I want you to take the sons of Aaron, and I want you to separate them among the children of Israel, and I want you to make them the priests unto Israel. And he goes into detail about their consecration and everything else. Now, why in the world would God say that? I mean, why would God say that about Levi? I mean, listen, the children of Israel are down there worshiping a golden calf. Why did he say unto Moses, I want you to take Aaron's sons, the Levites, and I want you to separate them? Because God knew what was going to happen when Moses went back down that mountain. Now, I want you to hear me. I'm going to teach you a theological truth. Y'all ready for this? Amen. How many of you agree God has your life and my life planned out before we were ever born? Y'all agree with that? Say amen. Now, that does not mean that God's predetermined who would be saved and who would be lost. That's not what that means. But God, in His foreknowledge, knows who's going to respond to Him by faith and who's not going to respond to Him by faith. Therefore, He plans out His will and ways for your life based upon what He knows you're going to do with His grace and His truth. Y'all got that? Say amen. Now, so here's the thing. God knew what Levi was fixing to do. Therefore, He separates them from the rest of Israel to be the priests and the ministers of God unto Israel based upon what He knew they were going to do before they ever did it. Y'all got that? Say amen. That's what God does. You say, well, what did Israel do? Well, look at Exodus 32. Moses comes back down, encounters them with this golden calf, and Moses stands up in the gate of the camp, and here's what he says. Verse 26. Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me. All the sons of Levi assembled themselves to him. And it was only Levi that forsook the rest of Israel and forsook the golden calf, and it was only Levi that said, hey, we're going to stand for the Lord. God knew before they were. And so God told Moses before he ever knew what they were doing down there, He said, I want to tell you, you're going to separate Aaron's sons unto myself. They're going to be priests unto me. They're going to be priests before the people. And I'm going to represent myself through them, and they're going to represent me before the people. The same call that's upon your and our life. Why did He do that? Because He knew the day that you'd say yes to the Lord Jesus. Amen? And so here is this heritage of Levi. Now, here's the other part of this. So now God has called them and separated them. And I want you to understand exactly what Levi did here. This moment in time when they came and they stood by Moses, this moment in time was not something that was done in convenience. It was something done out of inward conviction. Why? Because to do this, they were turning away from the rest of their people. And they did not do it in Canaan when they were enjoying the blessings of God. They did it in the wilderness just on a promise of what God said would come. And here they are. They're literally turning away from themselves and turning away from their heritage and turning away from their people and turning to God without any idea of what God has told Moses. But they had to do that to get in on what God told Moses. And I say that to say this. When you and I do not yield to the Lord, we cheat ourselves out of what God has planned for our lives. You don't cheat anybody else. You cheat yourself. That's what God has done here. Now, here's the last thing about the heritage of the Levites. And I'm just going to real quickly do this because this would take five messages if I did it in detail. Okay? The consecration of the Levites. Because here's what God said concerning their consecration. I'm not going to go through these verses, but if you want to study it on yourself, it's Leviticus 8, 1 through 9, and Exodus 29, 1 through 6. And here's what God said about the consecration of Levites. He told Moses, I want you to take them out from among Israel. That's the first thing. Take them out from among. Then He says, I want you to bring them to the gate of the camp or the gate of the tabernacle. So the first thing is, God said, I'm going to pull them out that I can bring them to. Y'all didn't get that, did you? Can I tell you, when God saved you, He plucked you out of the fire and plucked you out of this world to bring you to Himself? Can I tell you, you couldn't come to the gate, which is the Lord Jesus. He is the only door. He is the only way. There is no other way but the Lord Jesus. And can I tell you, you would have never, ever, ever came to that door if the Spirit of God wouldn't have took you out and brought you in. And then when they were brought to the door of the tabernacle, the Bible says that they were to strip their clothes and they were to be washed thoroughly by someone else. Now you say, wait a minute. Didn't the priests daily cleanse their hands and their feet when they would go in and do the ministries of the tabernacle? They would. That would be up on the priests to do after their consecration. But can I tell you, when God consecrated, when God set them apart unto Himself, He said first they must be cleansed thoroughly, and then they can cleanse their hands and feet daily. You say, what's the preacher of that preacher? Oh, it's real simple. Before you and I could ever cleanse ourselves daily in the Word, God had to cleanse us thoroughly through His blood. And what was the next thing? They said, take a sacrifice and put it on the altar. And they took a sacrifice and put it on the altar as a worship offering unto the Lord on behalf of the priest. And what was the next thing? Oh, listen. It says, now take their cleansed bodies and put garments upon them. Specifically, linen garments. White linen garments. With a breastplate and a belt and a mitre. Does that not sound like the whole armor of God? And He says to them, take these linen garments and put upon them. Why? Because linen in Scripture is a picture of righteousness. And here was a tribe that's roots was found in murder. And here was a tribe that its roots were found in condemnation. And here was a tribe whose roots were found in the curse of Jacob. But here's a tribe by grace and by faith as yielding to the Lord Jesus and standing with the Lord and standing against the world, that God said, now I reverse their curse and now I put with on them that that pictures my righteousness. And then they put a mitre up on their head. And upon that mitre was an emblem that said, holiness unto the Lord. Meaning that these priests, who were known for their murder, now are known for their holiness in God. And upon their breastplate, 12 stones representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Why? Because now they were going to represent God before God's people. Y'all getting this? Amen. I'm saying that's exactly what God done to you when He saved you. Christ represents you before heaven, our high priest. You represent God before the people, the priesthood of the believer. I'm not going to give them a land, God said. I'm going to give them myself. My, what a God we serve. Well, that's the heritage of the Levites. I want you to see secondly and lastly today. And you say, lastly already? Yeah, but hang on. It ain't going to be that quick. The honor of the Lord. The honor of the Levites. Because what does God do? He honors them. This inheritance in which He gives them here, He gives them, and this is an honor unto them. Now, you think about it. If they would have had any self left in them, all their other tribes, their brothers and sisters in the other tribes, I'm talking about from a spiritual standpoint, these of their people, all these other tribes, were getting the land and getting fertile land and getting cities and getting different parts of the land. If there would have been any self in them whatsoever, they would have been wanting to be like all the other tribes that said, give us a land. We want a land. We want to prosper in a land. But they never said that. You know why? Because they knew if the Lord was their inheritance, they were far richer than those that got a land. Now, I want you to hear me. There's three things said about Levi. One's in verse 14 of chapter 13, and here's what it says. It says that the Lord's inheritance for them was the sacrifices of the Lord God made by fire. Here in this verse we're looking at today, it says the inheritance of the Levi is the Lord Himself. In chapter 18, it says of Levi that their inheritance was the priesthood. And you say, well, preacher, which is it? Is it the offerings? Is it the Lord? Or is it the priesthood? And here's what I would say to you. Yes. Because they all picture Christ. And so what it has to do with is the inheritance was in the Lord, but yet the inheritance was manifested in different ways. And you say, how was it manifested? Well, there's four ways in which it was manifested. This inheritance of the Lord is seen in these four ways. First was a life of worship. God said, I've set you aside, I've called you unto myself, and that you not be distracted with the things of the land, that I've set you unto myself, that your whole focus and your whole call and your whole attitude of your heart is for worship of me. That's the offerings. Because the offerings were meant to be what? Worship offerings unto the Lord. Sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. They were meant to be acts of worship. And it could not be done without the priest. And so now all of a sudden, they are called and they're set apart for one purpose. And that's to worship Him. Every day of their life, they're to worship Him. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. They didn't spend every day in the tabernacle. They were done by allotments of who would be in the tabernacle at certain times. We'll get to that in a minute. Amen. But their heart was still worship even if they were not in the tabernacle. And so you say, well, what's that a picture of in me? Well, listen, if we are now the priests that represent God before this world, and God said of them that I want your heart to be a heart of continuous worship, then what do you think God wants our heart to be? And here's how it comes down if you will have a life that is centered upon worship of the Lord. Do you feel like your lot is good enough? In other words, if our inheritance is the Lord Jesus Christ and His life, are we satisfied with it? Or do we need something else? Y'all got that? Say amen. Because see, the thing is, if we are not walking in a continual state of worship, really what we're saying is, Lord, I'm not satisfied with my lot you gave me. Because how can you have Him as your inheritance and your soul inheritance and He not be the center of your focus in worship? Y'all with me? Say amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying you don't have to come to church to worship. You can worship Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then the next Saturday. And let me tell you something, you'll be in church Wednesday night, and you'll be in church Sunday morning, and you'll be in church Sunday night. Why? Because you had such a good time worshiping personally that you want to come together with the body of Christ and worship corporately. See, those that don't come are those that's not worshiping during the week. Amen, Hallie? Because how can you enjoy Christ through the week and not want to enjoy Him with those that are like you? Y'all love me, say amen. You've already voted on me, so you're hung with me. Amen? Y'all got that? Say amen. That's what, and you say, well, that ain't biblical. Oh, yes, it is. Let the brethren not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. For if we willfully sin against the knowledge of truth, the illustrations forsaken the assembly, as the manner of some is. For if we willfully sin against the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice unto sin, but a fearful looking unto judgment. Hebrews chapter 10. Read it for yourself. I mean, listen, this is God's command, but it's also God's desire. And so they were to give themselves to a life of worship. Now, here's the other thing. It was to be a life of well-being. What does that mean? That means if they don't have a land, then how are they going to be provided for? Well, guess what? They were going to have to depend upon God to be their provision. And how was God going to provide for them? Well, God told Moses when He said, I want you to separate Aaron's sons and I want you to consecrate them unto me as the priest. He said, at the same time, I want you to put in place this law that every sacrifice that's brought into the tabernacle, that sacrifice, a portion of it, the head, the shoulder, or the thigh, a portion of it would be given to the priest, that would be their substance in which they would eat. So you say, well, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying they had to trust God that God was going to move upon the heart of the people to be obedient to God. And as God moved upon the heart of the people to be obedient to God, then they had food upon their table. Isn't God good? Now, there's one time in Scripture in Nehemiah chapter 13 when Nehemiah came to Jerusalem and he found out that the people had ceased to bring their sacrifice before the temple. And Nehemiah 13 says, and the priests ate not. And you say, what does that say to us? I'm saying that in a physical sense for them meant if the people did not worship, the priests did not eat. In a spiritual realm for us is if we do not worship together and we do not worship personally, it will not only cost us in the spiritual realm, it'll cost those around us in the spiritual realm. Worship is the key. Worship is the key to everything. Whether it's personal family or corporate family. Whether it's home or church. Whether it's work or play. Worship is the key to the spiritual reality of everything you participate in as a child of God. Because that's what God gave us the privilege and the power to do is worship Him. In spirit and in truth. And do you not think that it's so significant that when God saved us, He placed His Holy Spirit within us? And then when Jesus spoke to the woman at the well, He said to the woman at the well, you cannot worship but in spirit and in truth. And if God would have never gave us the Spirit of God, we could have never worshiped, and God wants us to worship Him. So He's made the provision where we can do it. So God took care of the Levites, the well-being. But here's the other thing. Not only a life of worship and a life of well-being, but a life of work. I want you to look with me, if you will, at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verses 8 and 9. As God's speaking to Moses here, I want you to see this with me. Here's what God says about the Levites and their work. It says, at that time, the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and to stand before the Lord, meaning in His presence. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant, the Holy of Holies, represented the presence of God. And the work in which the Levites, the priests, were going to be doing was going to be doing in the tabernacle and before the Lord. And bless in His name. So in other words, when they went out to work as priests, representing God before the people, were they were going out in their own self-interest? Are they going out with their own self-identity? Are they going out in the name of someone else? Can I tell you, when God gives you and I the privilege to participate in His work, you and I are not working in and of ourselves. We're working on behalf of Him. Our service is on behalf of Him. That means that if people see me when I'm working, then I'm not working on behalf of Him. But if people see Him while I'm working, then I'm working on His behalf. Because it's His name, not mine. I had a man one time. He loved attention. Y'all say amen. And we had something in a church that we were bringing up to do in the church. And he was going around politicking for it to be done. Y'all say amen. I know y'all have never seen that, but anyway. It happens, amen. And so anyway, he was going around politicking for it to be done. And then when it passed in the church, which, by the way, we wanted to do it anyway. So when it passed in the church, my wife heard him in the fellowship hall walk up to a couple members of the church and say to them, I told you I'd get that through. Can I tell you something? He has no reward in heaven for his labor. Y'all with me? Because he was working in his own name for his own reputation. And not in the name of the Lord for the Lord's glory. See, the priests were representing God, not themselves. This wasn't about the priests. It wasn't about the Levites. It was about the Lord. So can I tell you today, God wants everybody to be in service. But in His service for His glory. Y'all got that? Say amen. Last thing and I'm done. Fourth thing in which God manifested Himself, being the Lord is their inheritance. And here it is. They had a life of witness. A life of witness. How is this? Well, here's what God said. God said to Moses, He said, when you enter into the land in which I promise, I want you to set aside 48 cities for the Levites. Because they would only serve in the temple by lots of so many. And there was multiple Levites, multiple priests. And so when they were not serving their time in the tabernacle, God said, I want you to set aside 48 cities when you conquer the land. And in these cities, the priests will be divided up among the cities. And they would be servants of me before the people amongst the cities. So even when they wasn't in the tabernacle, they were still being a witness of who they represented, the Lord. Now here's the way the Great Commission reads in the original Greek. We read it this way, go ye therefore. Y'all agree with that? Say amen. Here's the way it reads in the original Greek. As you go. That's the way it reads. And what does that mean? Listen, we are to go and we are to bring people to the place of understanding the gospel. Amen? Make disciples means bring them to a place of salvation. Then it says teaching them. So the first aspect is evangelism. The second aspect is training. That's the Great Commission. But here's the way it reads for the Christian. As we go. As we go. What does that mean? That means everywhere I go, I'm to go in the name of the Lord under the command of the Great Commission. That means if I'm at work, I'm a missionary at work. That means if I'm at home, I'm a missionary at home. That means if I'm at church, I'm a missionary at church. That means if I'm at the grocery store, I'm a missionary at the grocery store. That means if I'm at the DMV standing in line for 3 hours getting my license, I'm a missionary. And that means if you're in a restaurant and the waitress is slower than a snail, you're still a missionary. As you go, everywhere you go, every step you take, you're a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because not only are you priests, but you're ambassadors. And you're ambassadors of the Lord. And can I tell you, the only reason that so much of the world don't want nothing anything to do with the church is they've seen so much of the world in those that go to church. We're a witness. We know they have a need. We've experienced the provision. And God's using us to bring the two together. We're a witness. So what was their inheritance? God said this is their inheritance. The Lord. The Lord. The Lord through the sacrifices, through the offering. The Lord through their call, the priesthood. But here is their inheritance. A person. The Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the invitation. Very simple invitation today. Do you have an inheritance? Can you honestly say from a true heart that there was a day in my life when I was made conscious by the Holy Spirit of God that I was lost and separated from God. And I was undone. And at that moment, I yielded my heart and myself to the Lord and surrendered myself unto Him, turned from who I was and turned to who He is. And in the conviction of the Holy Spirit, I repented of my sin. And that day, something took place in me. And I've never, ever been the same since. Why? Because God placed within me His inheritance, Himself. This old earthen vessel now had a treasure in it. And all I had to do was die to myself that the treasure could be seen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And now I've become a perpetual witness of Him in my life. Am I going to be perfect at it? No. Are you going to fail at it from time to time? Yes. Do I fail at it from time to time? Yes. But can I tell you, there's still within me a wooing and a drawing. Always be available to Him that He can work through me. And I can never, ever, ever get over that. It never leaves me. Because the Spirit of God is alive within me and alive within you that are saved. And can I tell you, for that desire to ever leave you, that means the Spirit of God would have to be departed from you. And that cannot take place. So do you have an inheritance? And you say, well, preacher, I know that I have the inheritance, the life of the Lord Jesus. He saved me. He took His abode within me. Then let me ask you another question. Have you possessed your possession? Have you by faith clung to all that Christ is, to be all that He is and all that you are? Have you possessed that possession? Have you allowed Him to be who He wants to be in you? Or are there still areas of your life that you're holding back? And you're saying, God, I just can't give You this part of my life. I don't want to give up this part of my life. I don't want to sacrifice this time in my life. I don't want to give You this area of my life. Oh, can I tell you today? You'll be far better off surrendering it to Him than holding on to it yourself. Because what you surrender to Him will come back in the way to glory. But what you hold on to yourself will be taken by fire when it comes to glory. Y'all with me? Say amen. Father, I love You and praise You. Father, I thank You that Your inheritance for us was not a land, but it was a life. The life of a triune Godhead. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Your life within us. Your life implanted in us. And Your life lived through us for Your glory. Father, all we ought to desire is to take the possession You gave us in Yourself and never, ever let go of it. To let You be all that You are through all that we are. For Father, You paid the royal price that You could have that privilege in us. Father, it's our privilege to be Your vessels. It's our privilege to be that earthen treasure that You show forth Your glory in Your life. We're not worthy of it, but You're worthy of the praise through it. We're not worthy to ever be able to worship You, but You made a way where we can always worship You. We're not worthy to get in on the work in which You want to do, but You've made us able that we can participate in what You want to do. We're not worthy to be able to know in confidence of heart that You'll supply all our needs according to Your riches and glory. But Father, You've made a provision where You do just that. Father, we're not worthy to be salt and light. Light for who You are. We're not worthy to be a showcase of Your character and Your nature. But Father, You made provision that we are just that. Father, You made us priests under the authority of our high priest. Father, thank You. But oh God, forgive us. Father, have Your will and Your way in this invitation. In Jesus' name.